At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I'm just standing there and I'm like, I need to do a brain blast moment. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Okay.
Wallahi, yeah. I wish I was joking. I usually check it out.
It's whatever. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of The Cousin.
Whoa.
Let's just act like that didn't happen.
Bring up the energy, would you?
What?
Bring up the energy.
Hey,
so down.
By the way, this is the second time we're doing this because I'm in Ramadan mode right now, Ramadan brain right now. And like, we completely forgot to record the first 5 minutes. We might keep it, we might not. I don't know. But yeah, welcome back to the Cousin
Connection podcast. Sorry, my eyes are like watering.
Why?
I don't know.
What's going on? We're a little messed up today. Okay, guys. Like, we were talking about, let's get back into it. Let's okay. Make this sound as natural as possible.
So back to the pulse check.
Yeah. So Sara asked me. Pulse check.
Wait. Ramadan Mubarak.
Oh, yeah. Ramadan Mubarak. Okay.
You guys,
we're trying to replay everything we just messed up.
I know. We want to wish you guys all a happy Ramadan.
Who was that?
I don't know.
Okay, leave it.
That
forget it.
Off.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, Ramadan Mubarak. That's what I was trying to say.
But yeah, Sara asked me a pulse check, and I basically said, like, I don't know what it is about this Ramadan, but I've had the least amount of energy this Ramadan and any other Ramadan I can't remember.
You also look like you're about to fall asleep any second now.
Like, I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. It was to the point where I was literally missing summer Ramadan. And like, we were bonding on the fact that, like, I don't know what it is about the longer hours during the summer, when you were fasting during the summer.
Mm.
But like, it felt like you could do a lot more. And you know what? Now, one thing that I'm thinking about now that we're doing this again, mm-hmm. that I remember is that we're also kind of like just getting out of that like seasonal depression.
Yeah.
So I think it's a combination of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, because it's like more of an even split,
mm-hmm.
it seems like the time to break your fast comes sooner than you expect it. So like the things you normally do, like normally I would go out on my walk, I would read Quran, I would like, you know, listen to a few lessons, do like, you know, the things that people would normally do when they're trying to be on their deen during Ramadan. But like, before I know it, it's already like 7 o'clock and you're getting prepared to eat. It does also, the fact that my parents weren't here for the first 3 days meant that I had to like set all that stuff up myself.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to was me.
Welcome to the life of me.
But yeah, so like that in combination with like, I don't know what it is about the time, but I feel tired a lot earlier. And even though I'm setting myself up to sleep more hours than even I would normally sleep during like my when we're not fasting, I still don't get as much, I don't get as much rest. I don't feel like I'm as rested as I used to. I don't know what it is about this year, but it might be that seasonal depression as well. I don't know what it is, but all that in combination just made like this Ramadan, like the energy this week has just been done.
Do you feel like you're in a rut?
What? The thing. I don't exactly feel like I'm in a rut, but I just feel like I have less energy.
Yeah.
Like even for going to the gym last year, like I felt like I could, I had all the same motivation even when I wasn't fasting to still go to the gym and work out. And now I'm still going to the gym. I didn't go as many days as I normally do. And even the workouts I'm doing aren't as...
you're not going as hard.
There's no much. Yeah, they're not as hard, but there's not as much as variety as I used to do. Even at least what I remember from last Ramadan. But yeah, all of that, and also, what was it again? There was something you mentioned as well before, But yeah, I don't remember. I remember, guys, Ramadan brain. But yeah, just all of that. How about for you?
Okay, so my mom was also in Ethiopia with his parents for the entire first week of Ramadan. Yeah. Like, she just got back yesterday. Mm-hmm. And shout out to my dad, honestly, because I will be 1,000% honest with you guys. Like, I felt the exact same way as Amir. Like, no energy. Like, I couldn't even warm up my own food.
Yeah. So,
whatever, y'all can shame me. But my dad, shout out to him. He was holding it down.
Was he? He was actually cooking. You know what I mean? Did he make, you know, the classics of halwat marakh?
Yeah.
He did?
He did. But, like, I personally, I find it, like, a little too heavy for me.
Yeah.
So, like, the first 2 days, I was actually just, like, I was actually sticking to my meal prep that I already had, and I still did. Like, I still, you know, I would stick to having, like, a protein shake for suhoor, because I just found it easier to stomach that at, like, 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to have something too spiced, like eggs or...
Wait, I mean, do you guys know... Do they normally have halwat marakh in the morning too?
No, not in the morning.
Okay.
But like, yeah, I had it one day just to make my dad happy because like...
You got it. Like even for me...
It was good.
Yeah, even for me on like the first day that my parents got back from Ethiopia, I definitely like, you know, I had my meal prep food.
Yeah.
And on top of that, even though I was already like bursting at the throat, like, what do you call it?
Bursting at the seams?
Yeah, bursting at the seams with the food. I was like, you know, just out of respect for the culture. Mm. Exactly. I still had the halwat marakh, which is, I think everyone listening just knows what halwat marakh, right?
No.
What would you call it?
Halwat marakh is like, it's a Harari dish. So it's injera or ukhat for those of you guys that are gay. So, and if you don't know what injera is, just Google it. Honestly, it's the Ethiopian like spongy crepe looking thing.
Yeah.
With like a beef stew that has beef, different parts of beef.
Yeah. Dinicha. Potatoes.
Yeah. And it's like a watery stew, but it can be a little bit thicker.
Yeah.
And it is just, my mouth is watering. I'm so hungry right now.
Yeah, we're also filming this like literally 2 hours before we break our fast.
But yeah, so like, aside from that though, okay, on Wednesday, I don't know what got into me, but I just like Tuesday night I went to sleep. I'm like, I'm sleeping at 9:30 today, and I'm gonna wake up at 4, do a whole workout, have my suhoor, and then get ready to go to the office for work.
Yeah.
And I did it.
Oh, you did it?
I did it. I actually woke up at 4. Like, I still to this day, I'm like, I don't know what got into me. But by the time I got to the office, it was like 8 o'clock, 8 a.m.
You brought out your inner David Goggins.
Who?
Your Joko Wilco? Wilkins?
Who are you talking about?
All the men listening just know who I'm talking about, okay?
I have no idea who you're talking about. I don't even know what to Google.
You don't know who David Goggins is?
How do you even spell that?
Oh, my God. Huh?
No. How do you spell that?
David?
No, his last name. I know how to spell David.
Goggins? G-O-G-G-I-N-S? I think
who is that?
You don't know who David Goggins is?
No, I've never
seen
him.
He has so many phrases. I can't quote any of his phrases right now because Ramadan brain. But like, he's basically like a motivational speaker. He's like a guy who lost a bunch of weight. He joined the SEALs. He like, did he pass or fail or something like that? But like, he basically is like one of those like hardcore get your health in check kind of guys. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but yeah, so I did it. And when I got to work, I was like, I had a pep in my step. I was like, yeah, today's going to be a great day. By the time it was 10 a.m., I literally was like, oh my God, my head's going to explode from how bad this headache is.
I don't know what it is.
So after that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to just I'm gonna just take it easy.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my nutritionist, Marwa, who you guys all now know.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you know, I thought I was going to be overambitious and do that. And she was like, yeah, you know, it works for some people. But I also am cutting out coffee for Ramadan. I just feel like I can't rehydrate after I drink coffee in the morning. So I just, no point. And I think that's what messes me up.
That could be a piece of it as well. But I would say that because I also drink coffee every day.
Do you drink coffee during suhoor?
No, not during suhoor. But like sometimes, a couple times during the week, I don't know why, like after
iftar,
when I was by myself.
You had coffee in the evening?
Yeah, I would go on my walk because it would be the days where I work from home the next day. So I could stay up a little bit later.
I get
so
you.
I'd like go on my walk, get some coffee, and then I would come back and like start editing at that point. So I had it then, but still I felt the low energy. I don't know what it was about the day or how everything why, you know, I think it's also the lack of sun, because the sun has, it's been out a couple days here and there, but in the summer, just to compare it to that, like we had the sun, like the heat, I don't know what it's about the heat, and so you'd think that would like affect you more, but for some reason, I got energy from it.
Well, yeah. Are you taking vitamin D pills right now?
No, but I go outside every day.
Yeah, but you don't always get sun.
Yeah, the sun. No, you always get you always get vitamin D from the sun. It even in cloudy days. That's true.
I don't know if it's enough though. Okay, maybe it's different for you because I'm covered, right? Head to toe. So I actually don't.
Exactly.
Really.
Yeah. You're also, but I'm also covered as well. Technically, like, you know, I'm walking out with a hoodie on. Basically, okay. Hijabi guys.
Okay, I didn't know. I thought you were like going out in a t-shirt or something.
What? In this weather? Okay, it's been good, but not that good.
You know what, though? I left my house and I didn't need my jacket. I got here and I was like, oh, it's cold on this side of the
Yeah, because when you get closer to like the lakeshore area, it's like that. Not saying we're at lakefront, you know, lakefront property or anything, but we're closer than Sad Eyes, okay?
Actually, I have the Rouge Hill area.
I guess so, yeah. So we're kind of like the same distance, sort of, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, but... Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel decent energy today. Mm-hmm. Like, more than when I don't have coffee. Like, more than usual. Yeah. But I know that, like, by the time it hits, like, 6 o'clock, I'm just like...
Do you see? You find yourself doing that thing where you sit in a spot and you just kind of, like, space out for a bit? Yeah, contemplate.
You're just like...
Yeah, like, this. Those would be the times where I'd be motivated to, like, you know, pick up a book.
Yeah,
and start reading Quran or like I don't know, reading Tafsir or something like that, but just your body is like.
I think now that my mom's back and I have like not that my dad wasn't my dad was helping for sure, but it was like a like if he would set up and warm up the food, I would be cleaning up.
Yeah.
So once I've regained my energy from eating,
yeah,
I'm now cleaning, and then it's like, all right, you know, it's time for. What do I do after that? I'm trying to think. Like, what have I done all week after I broke my fast? After I cleaned.
Mm-hmm. See, it's even hard to remember what you did.
I know. That's the one thing that it affected my memory.
Mm-hmm. And time seems to fly now, too. I don't know what it is.
It's going so fast.
Yeah.
But actually, I have a story for you, okay?
Because
this happened to me twice in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is crazy. So before Ramadan, when I was doing my pre-Ramadan cleaning, if you know, you know, okay? You know how you have to like deep clean the house before?
Yeah.
That's our version of spring cleaning.
I don't know how y'all do that every week or every other week at this point.
No, like pre-Ramadan cleaning.
But the thing is that if you're already cleaning the house every week, what's the difference between that and then doing pre-Ramadan cleaning?
There's a difference.
Tell me what the difference
you
is.
You change the pillowcases. Again, if you're in a Hariri household, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You change the pillowcases, the ones that go around the carpet. You like take out the Ramadan only dishes. Like, you know what I mean?
What?
It's because you're not a girl. You just don't get it.
Yeah, maybe cause we don't have that female energy in the house as much anymore. And we have our mom, but she was all in Ethiopia. She didn't have time to prepare all that stuff,
Exactly. So she probably just let it. She picked and chose.
Mm-hmm.
She picked and chose her battles this year. She wasn't here.
Yeah.
But yeah, you take out like the dishes that you specifically use during Ramadan.
Are you joking? Like you guys have dishes that you use only for Ramadan?
Not just that, we have dishes from like before you and I were born, and my mom just loves to. She's a very sentimental person. Okay.
Okay, and she uses those.
No, we're not allowed to touch them. Are
okay,
you kidding?
I was about to say, yeah.
Those are antiques at this point.
Yeah.
I should sell them.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say. I'm literally about to say that.
We have the same thought.
Oh my god.
Like, yeah,
capitalistic.
Sell that.
Why do we have such
capitalistic
tendencies? Oh my god.
I got you.
It's back.
But. So I was like, I was cleaning and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that like we fully have Ramadan decorations. I'm like, let me look for that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, where did we put it? I have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, literally, I felt like I was tearing the house apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't judge me. I called my mom in Ethiopia. This was a week before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, do you remember where you put the Ramadan decorations?
Yeah.
She was like, check the basement. Check the basement. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, check this room. Nothing. Check this room, nothing. I'm like, I don't know what happened to it. Like, where are they? So then I think it was like the day before she came, she calls me at like 6 a.m. And this was the day that I was working from home. So I went back to, no, it wasn't 6. It was like 6:45-ish.
Yeah.
So I was going back to sleep after I prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And she wakes me up. She's like, hi, sorry. I just had a random thought. Did you check this box? I'm like, are you serious right now?
What? Wait.
She was calling me, you're saying,
are you serious about like why you're calling me at this
yeah.
point?
Yeah. I'm like, you know, it's 6 a.m., right? And yeah. she's like, oh, sorry. Yeah. Like, I figured you'd be awake. I'm like, no, I'm so tired. I went back to sleep.
Technically, you were. I'm just saying. Okay.
I was actually like about to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're like right about to.
I know.
So then I'm like, okay, I'll look later. Anyways, I didn't end up finding it, right? So she came.
That's home. Anticlimactic.
No, she came home yesterday.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, you still didn't find the mm-hmm. Ramadan decorations. I'm like, no, like I looked everywhere and I mm-hmm. have no clue. So she was like, I'm like, let's just go down to the basement together. So we're looking like every single box, and there are a lot of boxes down there.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So I'm just standing there and I'm like, I need to do a brain blast moment. So I'm like, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Okay.
Wallahi, yeah. I wish I was joking.
Don't tell me, it actually.
It was like right in front of me. But I looked in that box. I swear it wasn't in there.
Yeah.
I swear. And then after that, I pulled it out.
The power of
dua. I was like, Mom, I just found it.
Yeah.
She's like, I looked in there. I'm like, so did I. And I was like, you see the power of dua.
Exactly.
Ramadan dechive.
Only half the people listening to this again.
I know. What I meant is like how do you translate
in the time
that?
Of Ramadan? Or
yeah,
like, yeah,
like the dua that you make in the time of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I found it and I was so excited. I'm like, yes. 2 weeks after.
Only weekend, exactly.
But then it happened again. Mm-hmm. What was I looking for? I was looking for something else.
Call back.
What was it?
Do it.
No, actually, though, what was it? I was looking for something. Okay, whatever. Whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
I was, like, frantically looking for it, and I didn't know where it was, mm-hmm. and I did the same thing where I'm just like, let me just walk away. I think it was, like, I was replacing, oh, yeah, another part of Ramadan cleaning, like, you know, you switch out certain things, like mm-hmm. the towels and the carpets in the bathroom.
I'm agreeing, but I
you do that.
Do we?
Maybe not you. Your mom probably does it.
Maybe my mom does it. I just don't realize.
You change the carpets and stuff in the bathroom?
She did that. Like I was wondering why she did that.
All these years, you never questioned it?
I'm like, yeah.
How about the pillowcases downstairs?
Did she change those?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know if she changed
I haven't
that.
Been to the basement yeah. since they've left.
Well, they just got in, so like...
She probably yeah. didn't. But the same thing happened. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let me think. Where would it be?
Mm-hmm.
I checked where I already checked several times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember now. I was changing my duvet cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the cover, but I didn't have the pillowcase covers for yeah. the outside of my pillow, my other decorative pillows. So I looked in the linen closet,
mm-hmm.
nowhere to be found. I looked in the backup linen closet, nowhere to be found. I'm like, where would it be? Is it in the laundry? Like, where could it be? Then I was like, you know what? Let me just calm down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even joking. I literally just stood there. I'm like, where did I put it? Again, wallahi, I wish I was making this up.
Yeah.
But I went back to the linen closet. I literally just like separated two and it was right there. It was right there. And I looked.
Guys, never.
I looked.
Again, never doubt the power of dua, you know?
I don't know.
Whenever
what
you're
it
in
was.
A pickle.
But I was like, yo, I should be doing
crazy.
This more often.
I should use that trick, man.
Yeah, you need it more than I do.
I do. You know why? Because I was literally remembering a story what happened this week.
What'd you do?
Where I was about to leave the house and I just need my wallet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is after I came back from work. I hadn't used my wallet in a couple of days at that point. Because, like, I don't know. I just didn't need it. But I had it in my pants. I remember having it in my pants
mm-hmm.
before I left work. And then I got home and I walked in the house. I did whatever I need to do. And I started, like, walking out to, you know, go wherever I need to go. And I was looking for my wallet. I was like, oh, where did I put my wallet? I was checking, you know, my pants. I was mm-hmm. checking my other pants. Literally could not find it anywhere in the house. I've searched every spot, like you mentioned, literally any spot I could think of, even places I hadn't been in weeks. I don't know why. Sometimes you just things happen to be there. But I couldn't find it. So I went to the car, right? Logical next step. So I started searching the car. I did the same thing. I searched the same spots. I searched under the seats between, you know, that space between the center console and the seat. I yep. checked that place a million times. I checked like the trunk for some reason. I checked everywhere. Okay?
Okay.
Literally could not find it. Right.
Uh-huh.
I did exactly what you did. Except for making dua, I should have done that. But I was like, you know what? Let me calm
you
down.
You probably stopped with your hand on your hip. And huh? you were thinking, I freaking know.
Low key. I did that for a second, but I was like, you know what? Sometimes this works for me. And mm-hmm. so what I did is I stopped. I stood there. I was like, let me just go where I needed to go. Uh-huh. Like, I literally got into the car, acted like I did have my wallet, basically.
What?
I don't know. I didn't act like I did have my wallet. I'm like, my wallet will come back to me when I need it. Sometimes I do that. Okay, wait. Before you make that face. Okay. What I did, So I got in the car, I sat down, I turned on the car, I got out of the driveway with the car, I started driving forward. I swear to you, Sarah. I looked over to my left into the passenger seat, wallet sitting there.
Don't lie.
I swear to God. I literally looked everywhere. I looked in that area a million times. And I don't know what it was. I literally looked over and it was sitting right there. It was to the point where I almost like broke down from how I thought I was going crazy.
You know what it is?
I legitimately thought I was going crazy.
The veil has been lifted from our eyes. That's what it is. I'm convinced. Because there's no possible way that you're looking in the same spot
exactly.
2 seconds ago you couldn't see it.
Exactly.
Now all of a sudden it's there.
It's the weirdest experience. Come and it makes now. You question your whole reality. It's such a
feeling.
Weird experience.
I know.
I had
some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sort of think that it was because like I rationalized it by saying there was a tissue box on that seat, even though I remember picking up that tissue box and moving around. And maybe because like I was going in and out from light to dark because it was dark outside at the time, my eyes weren't adjusted, so I lifted it because my dark brown wallet kind of like blended in with this black seat. I don't know. That's how I tried to rationalize my mind, because other than that, I have to be crazy. I don't know what it is. But when I saw that, I literally stopped the car. I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
I know that feeling, because
yeah,
you're like, am I okay? Like, I know I looked
yeah,
here.
I'm sure everyone who's listening has had a moment like that where you just like,
yeah,
everything you feel like you've done everything you can, and then like you do one more check and it just happens to be there.
I know.
It's the weirdest thing. But sometimes I do that a lot where if I can't find something, I'll just continue on with my life.
Does it actually work for
and
you?
And it works. Usually that whatever that is, it usually comes back to me. I don't know why. It just happens. I get lucky like that.
Amir's life hack, guys.
Yeah, just don't care about it. You know how they have that say, like that thing where like when you care about something or you want something, it never comes to you. But with the moment you stop caring about it, it comes to you.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with like objects in your life. You just stop thinking about it. Stop like acting like you want it. Be like, I don't care. Literally I'm not kidding. Like sometimes 5 minutes later, you'll find it.
That happens to me with like hijabs. Like mm-hmm. I'll look for a specific hijab.
Yeah.
Cannot find it for the life of me. And mm-hmm. I'm like, fine, whatever. I'll settle for another one.
Yeah.
And like the next day it pops up. I'm like, where were you? Mm-hmm. I was looking for you.
Outside of Ramadan.
That's why I was trying to rationalize it. Like, they're locked up.
Yeah. That's why I had to caveat with outside Ramadan.
Oh, man.
During Ramadan, it's just Ramadan brain. That's sure. all it is.
We will blame Ramadan brain.
Yeah.
But to kind of like touch on the low energy that we've been feeling, I'm sure a lot of people mm-hmm. can relate. So I don't want, like, I just want to like kind of, what's the word? Reassure everyone that like, you know, sometimes I think when we think of Ramadan and like that we're trying to maximize our rewards, mm-hmm. we try to like do the most, or at least we try and think about doing the most, like, oh, let me do this and that, and I'm gonna incorporate this into my plan for mm-hmm. Ramadan. And then when you don't actually do it, you feel like this like sense of disappointment mm-hmm. within yourself, and that can kind of be discouraging in and of itself, right? So
yeah.
if you're feeling low on energy, I would say, you know, do take baby steps. Like, even if it's just like dhikr, like if you have the prayer beads or tasbih. Mm-hmm. Well, it's called something else. Tasbih is, I think, gaysanan.
Is it?
Is it called subha? No, that's not it.
Subha? Tasbih is, isn't that, that sounds like, no, that would be Arabic because we don't have the ha.
Tasbih is the form of dhikr, but what is the actual beads called? It's called
a rosemary.
Oh, misbah.
Isn't that what the...
It's rosary.
Oh, rosary.
No, it's not a rosary.
A rosary. It's not a rosemary. I thought it was rosaries all the
time. You were calling it rosemary?
I never called it to begin with, but like what I thought in my mind was a rosemary.
Rosary beads. And okay. They are prayer beads, but for Christians, I believe. And they have a cross at the end of it.
Okay.
It's called misbah. Subha, misbah, same thing.
You're close enough.
Close exactly. enough. Yeah. But anywho, or you can use electric ones or your fingers, mm-hmm. whatever you want. But like that's something small that you could do that doesn't take too much effort. Mm-hmm. And also I find just like doing things to kind of get you into the Ramadan mood. So whether that's decorating your place, mm-hmm. Playing Quran on a constant loop throughout the day, I feel like that kind of helps boost your mood as mm-hmm. well. My neighbor actually asked me about it. One day he came, he was talking to my dad. And we have the 99 names of Allah on like this, you know, that gold thing that's right by my front door.
Yeah.
So he was like, wow, what is that? Mm-hmm. And then my dad looks at me to explain. I'm like, you know what it is. Yeah. Too. Why are you looking at me? So I was like, oh, I'm like, you know, we believe.
Oh, so you did answer?
Yeah, I explained it to
him. Oh, okay. I thought your dad would have taken on.
I explained it to him and he was like, wow, that's really interesting. He's like, you know what? Are you okay if I like text you? I want more info on Islam. I was mm-hmm. like, don't mind if I do.
Okay.
So, like I sent him, he wanted to like listen to Quran and I was like, okay, but
who?
My neighbor.
Oh, okay.
So he was asking me for like different recommendations and mm-hmm. stuff. So I was sending him a few videos, but I was like, do you want to learn about the belief too?
Did you actually say that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was like, yeah. So I was like, okay, one day, like, I'll invite you over mm-hmm. after Ramadan, probably when I have more energy. But, like, also, like, you know, feel free to come stop by whenever you want. He was like, yeah, okay, cool.
Damn, even talking takes so much energy out of you.
I want to take a nap after this. But what I was trying to get at, my point was mm-hmm. start off with little, it's like building any kind of habit.
Yeah.
The same way that Amir has talked about doing walks. You're not going to do a 6-kilometer walk on your first time ever walking. Mm-hmm. Like, you're probably going to cramp up. So maybe start off with like doing 2 kilometers or 1 kilometer even, and then build your way up. And same thing with doing different acts of worship, whether it's spending a little extra time after your prayers to make some dua. You know, the longer that you sit as soon as you finish your prayers, the angels also make dua for you. So there's mm-hmm. a little bit of a life hack. Don't rush to get up after you pray. And then the more you can sit, the more you can reap the benefits of it. So, mm-hmm. Or even that time where you wake up for suhoor and you're waiting for Fajr to come in, you can read like 1 or 2 ayahs of the Quran or even a whole surah if you're reading from Juz Amma, where it's a little bit shorter and you can probably squeeze in a couple of different surahs in that time. Like just little things here and there. And then as you continue on through the days, inshallah, you'll get more inspiration and motivation to push yourself a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, the last 10 days, that's when you pull up your bootstraps. Is that how the saying? Tighten your bootstraps?
Yeah, tighten your bootstraps.
Tighten your bootstrap? No, it's not.
Yeah, because pull up your bootstraps is like...
What's a bootstrap anyway?
What?
What's a bootstrap anyway? Is it the little back tab thing? Yeah, you see.
Oh, yeah.
Pull up your bootstraps and
your
really...
Doc Martens. Is that what the ones that have the bootstraps nowadays?
Yeah.
That's a more modern version of it?
Yeah. Pull up your Doc Martens, whatever boots you want to wear.
Your Chelsea's.
Your Chelsea boots.
Is that Chelsea, the guy one?
No, Chelsea boots don't have bootstraps. They're like the
Which
more
ones are the guy
toe.
Ones? The ones that guys wear a lot?
Timberlands?
You know, no. Like, you know, the ones
the
that...
fancy ones?
You know, like the class, the one that you see a bunch of guys wear with like when they're trying to be fancy. It's like...
Oh, yeah. Chelsea boots.
Oh, are those Chelsea boots? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But they do have straps. No?
No. They're like the more like V-shaped pointed toe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I thought they had straps.
No.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe guys version, but women's don't.
Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, the last 10 days, you really want to ramp up the energy there. And even if... I know it's hard with work or school mm-hmm. because if you're anything like me and Amir, where if you're going into the office, those days where you wake up for suhoor, you're not going back to sleep. Amir said that he tries to sleep for 30 minutes. Literally not worth it because you wake up more groggy.
Yeah. No, but you know what it is? Before I used to be, well, like outside of Ramadan, like whenever waking up for Fajr, like I'm able to do it easily.
Yeah.
But that's because my stomach is not completely stacked with food from Sahur.
Yeah.
Like all this water, right? So that makes it a little bit harder to sleep right away. Even though normally you're supposed to get itis, but for some reason with Sahur, you don't get itis. I don't get itis for some reason.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It is harder, but I just, if I'm working from home, mm-hmm. I'm going to try just sleeping earlier and then just staying awake because I find that that's when I feel the most energetic.
Yeah.
And then my energy kind of depletes as the day goes on. Mm-hmm. But if I go to sleep after I eat, waking up is like...
I know.
It's so hard. I know. It's really difficult. That part of me... And then, you know why I get angry?
Why?
Because pre-Ramadan Sara wasn't thinking about the time that I wanted to sleep in. Mm-hmm. So I was scheduling touch points and meetings at 8:30 in the morning. Why? So then I couldn't start at 9 because I had all these meetings at 8:30 and I'm just mad at myself now. So, yeah.
Yeah, it snuck up on you. That's why.
It did. I did. I wasn't thinking. Or maybe I was overly ambitious and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to stay awake after Fajr.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to work out. And I'm going to be all good and energetic. Man,
this year, the energy just... it's not there. I don't know what it is.
I thought it was because I wasn't getting enough protein in. So I like would make really protein heavy protein shakes and just add as much protein as possible, and I feel like that helps me maintain energy if I stay awake.
Yeah, also healthy fats.
Yeah,
and a big thing that I've recently been seeing is like electrolytes.
Yeah, I fully have a greens powder.
Yeah.
I just didn't use it like the first week, so I'm going
to
use it.
Yeah, use it. You're going to drink water anyways, right? You might as well put that inside of it. I bought a package of electrolyte, the bottle, whatever. So I just pour it into my water in the morning and I take that. But still, I thought it would help, but I don't know. Maybe that's what's changing my level of energy. I don't know. I have to kind of test this theory throughout the month.
Right? So you take your electrolytes in the morning, not when you break your fast?
Yeah. Maybe that's why. I don't know. I'll have to play around with it and figure out why.
I'm going to try it when I break my fast today. And if not, then I'll do it in the morning.
But
yeah, so a little bit of like a comforting reassurance. Like, don't be too hard on yourself. As long as you are trying the best within your capacity. Because not everyone has 150% capacity at all times. Mm-hmm. And remember, we always say this, when you compare yourself to what you see online, it can be so demotivating because you also have to remember, like, while yes, people are reminding you of beneficial things and may Allah reward them for the good reminders, but a lot of it is just content.
Yeah. Okay?
You think everyone's doing all that in 24 hours? I don't think so. So just remember, while yes, they are good reminders, some maybe, yes, mashallah, maybe they're able to do all of it all at once.
Yeah.
But you know, everyone's situation is different. Everyone's responsibilities are different. You know what I mean? So do whatever you have capacity for. Just try to give as much as you possibly can in terms of your energy. So if you only have 50% that day, give the full 50 and that's your 100% of the day, if that makes sense. The girl math.
Yeah, the math can be math, you know?
What did you say?
I'll say the math can math, but I accidentally was about to say another, whatever, you know? I don't know.
Cut the cameras. We're done here. Are you okay?
On another topic?
You want to take a deep breath?
Okay.
No. Okay. What? Inhale for 2.
Yeah.
Hold for 3. Exhale for... Let's do 2 more. Let's do 2 more. Get the sillies out.
Do I want the sillies to be out though? No, I'm good. I'm good.
All right.
Okay.
You feel more relaxed?
What? Yeah, I'm relaxed now.
Right.
I'm going to hype myself up again because you know what? I got a message for y'all out there, okay? Y'all politicians out there, okay?
Don't say
Ramadan Mubarak if you ain't going to follow it with a ceasefire, okay? I'm just saying all these guys out here nowadays looking for the Muslim support, saying Ramadan Mubarak, having all these iftars and stuff for people, but at the same time are not calling for a ceasefire. So, you know, the math ain't mathing, just like Sada was saying earlier, okay?
No, my math was mathing. Their math is not.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if the math is not mathing for them, okay?
Yeah.
Especially the weirdest one, the Is Not Real.
Yeah.
Came out with a statement saying Ramadan Mubarak to our Muslim citizens. And it's like, guys, do not know, see what you're doing to the Muslims, okay?
It's all a game for them. It's all a game.
Yeah. But yeah. it's the disconnect.
I know.
It's not a disconnect because they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they know.
They know what they're
doing,
right? It's a
game. Yeah. And all they've been doing this entire time is just pushing it to see how far they can go.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been able to go pretty far. Not in the eyes of the Muslims,
mm-hmm.
but in the eyes of, you know, the powers that be that are cowards and are only in it for the money, mm-hmm. unfortunately. So.
And yeah, like, I think there was a video of like Kamala Harris, who's vice president in America. Everyone seems to forget about her.
I actually forgot about
it. See, I tell you. She's like giving an address to like all the Muslims for Ramadan, and I think people are calling out on that too. Of course, as they should.
Mm.
And like, you know, Joe Biden is posting about it. Justin Trudeau came out with a whole video supporting him. But I think did Canada call for a ceasefire now?
Now.
Yeah, I think they called for a ceasefire now. So you know what?
Make in more recent times.
I'm not going to give you a full blight, but I'm going to give you a tiny blight, okay? Blight means a pass.
I have never heard that.
You've heard blight.
I have not.
Ksara.
I haven't.
She's from East Side.
No, I love to say your area.
Like the outside side, you know? She can't even claim Toronto, really. Hey, and just say, okay.
I'm Scarborough's finest with a Y.
You lost it all when you moved that far, okay?
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, so that was just something, you know, an ick, you know, a little thing in my mind that was recently going on. But it's just really annoying seeing all the stuff that's going on, especially like recently. You think it can't get any worse, but the worst things happening now in Palestine are like the flower massacres, mm-hmm. that are currently going on. That have gone on. There's like two of them already, hundreds of people dead. And now, basically, like, I don't know if they're doing it. I'm going to say, honestly, I'm not going to give them the pass. I think they're doing it on purpose, right? Where all of these other foreign countries, like these in the West, are giving foreign aid to the people of Gaza by dropping air support. Mm. What do you call it? Air aid or like?
Aid. By air?
Yeah, aid by air. There's an actual word for it. I can't remember right now. Ramadan brain. But they're dropping it, and then like literally 5 seconds later, they'll bomb the area.
Yeah,
knowing that people will be coming towards this, right?
And if they're not bombing them, people are starving to death because it's also, you know, they're fasting. A lot of them are fasting.
Yeah.
So imagine fasting all day and then not having anything to eat with. And if you see how some of these children look, a lot of them you'll see like before and afters.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very difficult to like, even more harder to stomach it, because then you think of your own situation and you're like, you mm-hmm. know, okay, yeah, I'm hungry and thirsty and low energy all day, but then I get to have a feast later. And mm-hmm. I know that there was a call on social media for a lot of people not to share their iftar meals in solidarity of mm-hmm. the Palestinians. Obviously, you know, if your job is content creation and you primarily make food,
mm-hmm.
you got to do what you got to do. You know what I mean? And I don't think it's coming from an insensitive place either. A job is a job.
Yeah.
You know, same thing how like when things kind of first started picking up back in October, mm-hmm. A lot of influencers were being like, not shunned, but shamed for posting during a time like this. And meanwhile, the people that were shaming them, it's like, you're still going to your job.
Yeah.
I don't see you staying home. Like, you know what I mean?
Because technically that was their job.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. their job. So like, I don't know. I just think... I totally understand the point of like not posting your food
mm-hmm.
and like gloating in a way. Is that the word, gloating?
So I don't think that's the right word.
People don't gloat. Whoever posts their food, I don't think it's out of like showing mm-hmm. off. It's more so just like, it's always sharing. Kind of been like a tradition. Like yeah. you share with your friends and family, like, oh, here's what I had for iftar today. And mm-hmm. people share recipes. And
also they're just, some of them are just proud of their work. They're like, oh, I put this all together.
Yeah, I used to do that too. Not yeah. gonna lie.
So if you're proud of your work, okay, that yeah. makes sense. But if they want to, yeah. you know, not post in solidarity with them, there's yeah. nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah. No, I see it and I get it. Like,
mm-hmm. But it's an unfortunate situation that's currently going on there, especially with because honestly, even if they weren't fasting, even if it wasn't the month of Ramadan, a lot of them were already yeah. technically fasting.
I know.
Maybe the timing didn't add up, but they weren't eating for multiple hours of the day, sometimes even multiple days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So this is a time where we can firsthand see like our only our own Muslim brothers and sisters out there who are suffering, and our fast is a way to remind us of for those who are suffering in this exact circumstance, right?
Exactly.
So that's another layer added on top of it.
So, and same with those in Sudan. Mm-hmm. Same with the Muslims in Congo. Like, wherever there is any sort of conflict or war or mm-hmm. oppression taking place, you know, starvation is one. That's extreme for us. We're not starving. Mm-hmm. But starvation for them is a very real scenario. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so even if you're, if for those of you that are fasting and you're like, oh my God, it's so difficult, I don't know how I can do this. Mm-hmm. Think of those that have no choice but to live life like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. There's actually a TikTok I saw recently of a guy. Mm-hmm. He's actually a convert in the UK. Mm-hmm. And he was speaking on like, Allah gives everyone hardships, right? But us being in the West, we're part of the like 3-5%, top 3-5% of Muslims who, or at least we're, thankfully, poverty is not one of our hardships,
yeah.
right? That we have to go through. Because poverty is probably one of the like worst, the hardest hardships you can go through, right?
For sure.
Like not being able to eat and not having a safe place to live or feel safe in general, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and that population of Muslims is actually very small in relation to the rest of the world, mm. right? Like look at all the Muslims in Sudan, in Palestine, in currently in China, the Uyghur Muslims, in many places, unfortunately, in the world, that there are a lot of Muslims who are dealing with poverty. And thankfully, we're not in that percentile, which is, so you must be grateful for that. It's sure, everyone has their own hardships, even though we might, that might not be one of our hardships. We do have other hardships, but that one is the worst of them. And you should be thankful and grateful and be able to, inshallah, maybe help those people who are going through those hardships so they're no longer going through it. But yeah. that's just something to keep in mind.
Actually, on that note, I did see a TikTok about this maybe 2 weeks ago, but mm-hmm. Someone was talking about, you know, the motivation during Ramadan mm-hmm. and like if you're lacking motivation, what to do. And she was saying, like, for those of us in the West, our hardship is that we're not in a Muslim country. Mm-hmm. Being a practicing Muslim, like life, basically the odds are against us at mm-hmm. all times. You know what I mean? And so it's, sometimes you have to fight for your ability to even practice, whether it's praying at work or at school and finding a spot. If you're not, now I think it's a little bit better, mm-hmm. but it's not the same. There's no adhan that goes off 5 times a day that reminds you of your prayers. You have to be on top of your own yeah. thing. You know what I mean? It's not common for you to be surrounded by Muslims unless you're at a masjid, like in day-to-day life. Like, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like you're not in a Muslim country, so it's not as easy for you to be a practicing Muslim as it would be if you were in a Muslim country. So mm-hmm. that in and of itself is like our hardship for us. And so being a practicing Muslim, just praying your 5 prayers, just fasting the day of Ramadan properly mm-hmm. and doing your daily adhkar is enough. Like yeah. you're sufficient in that sense. Everything that you do on top of that, of course, is more
bonus.
Yeah, it's a bonus and it's rewardable and it's encouraged to do it for sure. Mm-hmm. But just remember, like, you know, if you feel like it's difficult, it's because it is. Like, mm-hmm. you know, don't gaslight yourself into thinking like, oh, you know, I should be better. Yeah, you mm-hmm. should. Like, definitely motivate yourself. But just remember that. Like, remember that in the back of your mind. And that's mm-hmm. why, you know, whenever you do go to Muslim countries,
yeah,
you find this, like, tranquility in your heart or this peace. Like, you know, you're mm-hmm. comfortable. You can go to the bathroom and you have a hose to clean yourself and you're not, like,
yeah,
giving yourself freaking carpet burn or something.
Exactly. And actually, one thing about going back to the people who don't have much,
yeah,
you usually find that those people who don't have much are usually the most giving and the most like charitable,
because they know what it's like to not have anything.
Yeah,
it's like they know what it's like to be in that position, mm-hmm. so they're willing to give more. And mm-hmm. so for us who maybe we're not being struck with poverty and we maybe have the means to donate, mm-hmm. donate. And that's a mm-hmm. rewardable act, especially during Ramadan, when your good deeds are multiplied by, you never know how many times, Allahu mm-hmm. A'lam, you know? Mm-hmm. So pick and choose like what you want. How do I word this? Like, you know, you have different options of where to get rewards. Mm-hmm. You can pick whatever one you want that fits yeah. into your lifestyle and do it.
Exactly.
Inshallah, you'll be rewarded for it.
Yeah.
Just don't forget your sincere intentions, of course.
Yes, always make sure to be sincere in your actions, right? Mm-hmm. Which I feel like, and this might be a controversial thing, but like with the rise of social media, like Muslim social media, or mm-hmm. not Muslims in social media, I guess, mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people might feel like even peer pressure to do certain things that they normally wouldn't do. And unfortunately, if you feel like you're pressured in doing something, having sincerity is almost impossible in those actions, right? Because there are certain things like, one example, a big thing that before social media, the idea of Taraweeh. There are some places where they doing Taraweeh like at the mosque is a lot more encouraged, I guess, or a lot more done by a lot by the community a lot more. Yeah. While in other places, Taraweeh, sometimes people just prefer to do it at home by themselves or maybe with their family, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with the rise of social media, you've seen a lot of people talking about, you know, going to Taraweeh. There's a lot of memes made about it, all these jokes. Mm-hmm. And someone might feel like, oh, you know, usually I just pray Taraweeh at home, maybe with my family or something. But now I feel pressured to go out and do it out with my friends at the mosque. But then at that point, you're like, you gotta question your own sincerity in those cases. So I feel like social media, and that's just one example, but there are other examples where I feel like people might be pressured doing some things where sincerity might...
You mean like they're doing it just to fit in and not because they're being sincere
because they
about
feel
it?
Like, oh, this is like the thing that we're doing now as a community. And if you're not... No, you can do it with sincerity, but you have to be a lot more careful now because you're being like, how are you being... Since you're being influenced to do a good thing, but are you doing it because you want to just be with your friends, or are you doing it purely out of your own sincerity and because you want to do it for the sake of Allah? So that's just something with social media I feel like you need to be very aware of. Like, always remember your sincerity. Not saying not don't do it, but just keep your sincerity in mind in all in everything that you do.
Yeah, no, for sure. Definitely. I think it's okay to get ideas of different ways to,
do definitely. Good deeds.
But yeah, you're right. Just keep yourself in check, or you know, when you have a good group of friends that will remind you to have your sincere intentions, that's a win-win situation, to be honest. So.
Yeah, exactly. Do you feel like recently there's been a commercialization of Ramadan, but also Islam in general? And like, should we be wary of this or should we embrace it?
Commercialization,
that's something I've been like fighting with recently,
of Ramadan. I feel like that happened like back in the pandemic, like 2020. It really picked up, but like, and it's not a bad thing, but during 2020 was the rise of influencers on TikTok, specifically people posting a day in their life, and a lot of non-Muslims were posting like, come with me while I fast 30 days of Ramadan, you know. And so I know we spoke about this before in past episodes, like the maybe last year's Ramadan series, but
I'm not saying whether it's a bad thing. Before you said before, not a bad thing or a good thing. I'm saying, should we be wary of it or should we just fully embrace it?
You should always be wary of everything, but I think embrace it too, because a win is a win.
Yeah, but don't you think that because when something becomes, when people see that there's money in something, that's where you get a lot of false actors inside of the game, like who start joining in, like, because at that point, because of how fast someone can be popular online, especially in the Muslim space. Social media space or Muslim space, it's sometimes harder to backtrack and be like, okay, what is this person's credentials? Where did they come from? Who did they learn from? Right? But then they might become popular, and before you know it, they're like coming to big Islamic events where there are multiple speakers who, and all of them are being called scholars, and then later on you might find out this person has really no background in it and they just started learning like a few years earlier and started making money off of it, because a lot of people are making money off of like speaking engagements, right?
Yeah, but that's kind of always been there,
but now I feel like it's been ramping up a lot more.
Yeah, especially because
there's money to be made in it.
I feel like you know, the religion of Islam, the name of Islam has really become more widespread than ever before because of what has been happening to the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. And when people like post about it, it went from being like a religion issue or an Arab issue to a humanity issue.
Yeah.
And so it became like a global conversation where everybody was talking about it. Mm-hmm. And through that, through the unwavering faith of the Palestinians, a lot of people were inspired and ended up embracing Islam. MashaAllah, like, good for them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people like, and this is not to hate on her at all whatsoever, but Megan Rice, for example, became an overnight sensation. Maybe not overnight, but probably gradual, I don't know. But like, she's someone who embraced Islam and I think she still does lives. I don't follow her as much anymore, but you know, she's someone that kind of blew up. And I know the other person that you're going to mention
No, we'll get to that. Okay.
We won't mention him now. I'm sure you guys are all like, what about?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you should always be weary, but but don't be too jaded and like kind of avoid everything. Like
I'm a very skeptical person.
I know so, you are. Yeah. I feel like I'm the more naive one between the two. It depends on what it is. But I'm willing to give something a chance and look into it. And then if I'm like, oh, wait, no, this is going a little left, then I'll leave it.
Okay. Yeah. I'll always, whenever something is happening, whenever I see like a trend going on, I'm very skeptical of it. Mm. Because even not even speaking about the Muslims, like you see people who are not Muslim making money off of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like you saw when Megan Rice was doing the reading Quran and eventually she embraced Islam from that. There are other people who are not Muslim who started doing that live and like they would be reading the Quran and going through it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they said they had any intention of embracing Islam. Inshallah, they did, or some of them actually ended up doing outside of Megan Rice. But those views that they're getting, everything that they're getting from, they're making money off of this, right?
Of course.
They're making money off of this interest in like non-Muslims, you know, finding out about Islam. Mm. And like if they were maybe taking that money and donating it towards some Muslim, causes that mainly affected Muslims, then I'll be like, okay. But then if they're just taking that money, you know, and putting it in the bank, I'm kind of more wary of it. Because then now you're just making money off of people's interests. Yeah, the Muslim struggle and the Muslim space.
Yeah, yeah, right? No, I get that.
So that's what I mean by being wary of these things being very commercialized. And then also you have like other companies like grocery stores. They're starting to put up like decorations whenever there's Eid or that. Ramadan, and they're putting all the things that most Muslims would be looking for. They put it up front in the store.
The dates, all those things. Yep.
So they've been embracing that a lot more. And that kind of thing, like, even though you can see that they are making money off of it, right? Mm-hmm. And these aren't Muslim companies to begin with, right? They're just after the bottom line. But this is in a way that we're benefiting from it, right? So this is where I'd be kind of wary at first, but then embrace it. The only time I would be wary is that if they start cutting corners, because these companies might start making deals. Like a big issue is like halal meat, where they might be making deals with certain companies saying, hey, you know, just stick a halal label on this. We'll put it in our stores. We'll put it at the front for the Muslims and during Ramadan. They don't know some Muslims or a lot of Muslims know better by just asking questions. But some of them are like, okay, there's halal meat in the front of the store. I see another person pick it up. I'm just going to go and pick it up. And that's where you kind of have to be wary of it, right? Where people are starting to put products out there. And another thing, when you mentioned dates, they're putting these dates up in front of the store. Mm-hmm. People are looking. It says, made in Palestine. MashaAllah, I'm going to support my Palestinian brothers and sisters, right? Mm-hmm. And they find out that it's really just is not real country. Is not real company. Mm-hmm. Sticking the made in Palestine label on it just so they can benefit from that as well. Yep. So that's where I'm trying to get to when it says being wary of people seeing that there's money to be made in this and then capitalizing on that and even what is it when you mess with people, like when you not bamboozling but a different word.
When you
deceiving the people, exactly, that's another better word than bamboozling. But yeah, so that's the thing that I'm being wary of. And then to get to the other thing when it comes to commercialization, I know my mom's in the background there, she's really loud, but when it comes to like the idea of commercialization, I also thought of what recently happened with the conversion of Sean King, which was, I'm saying right now, super like unexpected.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, because he's been around, like working so closely with Muslims in constant contact with them. I felt like it was kind of bound to happen.
Yeah.
Like he was eventually, because he was learning so much about Islam, like unintentionally, like just happening to learn about it. And then I'm sure his interest was piqued, and then, you know, Allah guided him to Islam.
Yeah.
You know, may Allah keep him on the straight path. And his wife. Sorry. Yeah. They both said the Shahada together. So that was a really nice moment for them. But also like Lil Jon, that one took me
for, I was Lil like, Jon,
whoa. Okay.
was very unexpected too.
Good for him though. Mashallah.
Yeah. That's for both of them. That's a good thing, right? But there, you have to also, the skeptical in me, even though, you know, we do have to, whenever someone embraces Islam, all their sins are forgiven, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we should still be wary. Like I had the same opinion when Andrew Tate converted to Islam, right? Yeah. We should still be wary because these just because they embrace Islam, it doesn't mean they're a different person completely, right?
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, and the thing is that there are a lot of claims about, like, how he's stolen money.
Yeah.
And used, donated money for his own benefit and all these things in the past. And I don't know how much of that has been substantiated, but he does have a bad reputation in a lot of these, especially in the Black Lives Matter community.
It also doesn't help that, like, right after he embraced Islam, then announced, like, a tour with Khalid. Bedouin or Beydoun or what? I don't know how to say his last name. But he announced a tour where tickets are like 60 to 120. And, you know, some people were being skeptical. And, you know, a lot of the people that were following the Black Lives Matters movement were like, watch Muslims, like, we're telling you, watch what's going to happen. And, you know, on one hand, we should be giving him the benefit of the doubt. And at the end of the day, he knows, because I'm sure he's learned a lot about Islam. Allah is watching. So you may be able to trick a few people now, but you can never hide your actions from Allah. Allah knows what you're going to do before you even do it. So
Yeah. So I'm hoping that he takes that into account, or like he really understands what that means to deceive Muslims and just people in general, and what the ramifications are for that now. Because now that he's embraced Islam and he's learning, hopefully that'll be a thing. But it is kind of weird how he came out with that tour. Like, I don't know, maybe he's going to donate all the funds. If he donates all the funds, but outside of, like, you know, the operation costs, then I have no problem with it, right?
Yeah.
But then again, there are also the people who who are actually Palestinian, who are saying, why not elevate Palestinian voices, right? Instead of you speaking, like, have Palestinian speakers come out and be the forefront of this, right?
Right.
I think even there was someone else who was supposed to be on there. They're centered on it, but I forget, they like had to drop out. Oh yeah, at one point they even added like Macklemore to the poster. Yeah,
that's so random.
Exactly. And like, he
spoke up about
exactly
it, but like, okay.
He was supposed to be joining them for this, but then he was on the initial poster, but then he himself spoke to them and said, hey, I didn't realize what this was going to be, because he saw the backlash. He's like, I didn't realize what it was going to be. I'm dropping out of this, like, take me off the poster. And he got out of it. And he's like, hey, guys, like, I'm not here to drown out any real Palestinian voices. I'm here to, like, just support you guys in this endeavor, right?
I respect that.
So, yeah, exactly. So that's why a lot of people are having this kind of, like, are being wary.
Yeah, no,
of the situation.
I definitely understand it. I think there's two sides of the coin, right? So it's like, on one hand, you want to give him the benefit of the doubt. On the other hand, yes. You're also a little weary given past experiences, but truth and time will tell all.
Exactly. Yeah. At the end of the day,
if you know, you know.
Yeah. Everything will be just not justified. Justice will be served in the end, you know. I'm just so we can at least look forward to that, or at least to hope for that.
For sure.
But yeah, so that was something, you know, I think we did pretty well. It wasn't too controversial, right?
Yeah. We're easing our way into the controversy. Maybe next week.
Yeah.
Unless you want to keep going.
Huh?
What are we at?
All right, 50. We're good. We got time. Okay. Another big thing. This is not Ramadan related. But another big thing that's been happening this week is the TikTok ban in America. So just to give everyone like an idea of what this is, it's not exactly a TikTok ban, but it basically is. So essentially, they said basically, if you don't sell your company, if this goes through, if TikTok doesn't sell their company, or the TikTok portion of ByteDance, which actually owns TikTok, if they don't sell that within 180 days of that passing, then it will be banned in America completely. It, like, for the first time ever, this has never happened, like, or not never happened, but it's rare this has happened recently, where everyone in Congress was on the same page on this, right? Everybody, like, it passed, like, in, like, 4 days from it being made.
Damn.
And now it's in the Senate, and once it passes there, it goes to Joe Biden, who said, if this passes, I'm signing it right away. And when it was actually in Congress, first off, just to show you how much Congress is in disarray, like how they just can't make any decisions. Recently, there was a bill to pass to give the southern border a little bit more funding, right? And they were actually, this is something brought by the Republicans, and they were working with the Democrats to be able to, like, you know, chisel out this deal, get everyone on the same page. And eventually they had a deal, they had a bill where everyone is kind of on the same page, and they're going to put it into Congress. And they're like, okay, everybody's agreeing on this, we're going to pass it, right? And the moment it made it onto the floor, the Republicans denied it. They like broke it down, even though they made the bill.
Why would they do that?
Because this is, I don't know if this is a conspiracy or this is exactly how it's reported or what's actually happened, is that because Trump is trying to run for office in November, they don't want to give the Democrats any wins. Because technically, if this passes, this would be a win for the Democrats. They killed their own bill. But then at the same time, after they killed it, they chastised the Democratic government for not giving enough support to the border. They're like, we tried to give support and y'all denied it. But because they know that their audience doesn't listen to both sides, or at least they listen to certain outlets that only give one side of the story, then they know they can play with this story until the elections in November.
Right.
So they can kind of use this as a leg up for them.
Right.
So that just shows you how like it's just the Congress is just completely messed up. But the fact that they could all agree to pass this shows you that there's a lot of collusion. And someone actually looked into it.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw that a lot of these people who voted for this were supported by AIPAC.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Which is like basically an Israeli like lobbyist, or is not real lobbyist.
Yeah.
Yeah. They gave like millions of dollars to all of these congresspeople to basically pass this thing.
Mm.
And that was already the case. The fact, and they're saying that this is for American security because they don't want China like listening on their American citizens. But
we all know what it really is.
Exactly. We all know what this is really about. What?
The stats of like what were the...
The hashtags?
Yes.
Yeah. How like even though it's being suppressed, still like the top of the hashtags is like free Palestine.
Yeah. I think the top 20.
Yeah.
Were all related to
And of course Palestine. The ones at the bottom are like, you know, free... It was like, what is it called? Free is not real or something like that. Basically, whatever was pro is not real was at the bottom.
Yeah.
Or basically didn't even make the list. So clearly they're trying to use the Chinese government as like a scapegoat, but you can see that this is more because they're realizing the power of TikTok and how like because of its more democratic type of algorithm, even though, you know, pro-Palestinian content has been suppressed, but just because of the sheer amount of people on there and how they're able to trick the algorithms with, like, you know, sharing, saving, reposting, all those things, it's still getting out there. And I think they just don't want this to happen. And this is their excuse to kind of ban it.
It's crazy how much power social media has.
Exactly. And actually, there was funny, on TikTok, there's a guy who's called, like, TikTok's politician.
Mm.
His name's, like, Jeff Jackson or something like that. He's a guy in Congress in America. And he was seen very positive in the TikTok space because essentially he'd make this very high fidelity or high quality videos where he's just sitting in front of the camera and explaining like certain bills that are going through and exactly what's happening. He would like talk about all the inner workings of Congress and explain it in a very layman's term so everyone could understand him, and he amassed like millions of followers, like 2.5 million followers from this.
Wow.
Yeah. But of course they find out he voted in favor of it. And there's all this controversy with it where, like, people were starting to unfollow him. He went from, like, 2.5 to 2.1. He lost, like, 400,000 plus and is still losing them. He to the point where he had so much negative feedback from that he took down the video.
Did he?
Yeah. And then he put up another video trying to explain himself. Mm. And everybody's like, you're done. You're done. So it shows you that even, like, the guys who seem to be on your side are not really on your side.
They never were. And like, that's what I was saying. Like, it's similar to the commercialization of Ramadan or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's always like a hidden intent behind why people post what they post.
Yeah. So it's just hopefully, well, with this TikTok ban, actually, technically, it's not even, there's like some legal basis where, I mean, there's some basis where it's not even a legal thing to do because of like freedom of speech.
Mm.
So people are saying, like, most likely, even if it does pass, the company ByteDance can fight it in court and say, hey, this is not legal, guys. Like, we have the freedom to, you know, put whatever we want out there. You can't just stop an app from being available to your country. And even if it does pass, there's probably going to be years or at least months. Yeah, but maybe even years of them trying to fight it in court. So it's not like the moment it passes, after 180 days, it's done.
Yeah.
But now a lot of senators are also scared in the Senate. They're just being like, okay, guys, do we really want this? Like, the elections are coming up, and a lot of people are saying we're not going to vote for you, first off, for what's happening in Palestine, but also because of this TikTok ban. So now you have two people. You have the new generation, Gen Z, who is now able to vote.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the ages where they're able to vote. And you also have all the
millennials.
Basically, millennials and people of color in general,
mm-hmm.
who are not going to vote for you because of your stance on Palestine and what you've been doing to those people as well. So exactly. Everybody's kind of being like, okay, what should we really do here? Do we want to piss off like two groups?
Americans should have just voted for Bernie Sanders when they had the chance.
Even him, he's like...
I know he's wishy-washy, but he's the best of the worst.
I guess, yeah.
I would say that. He's the best of the worst.
Hindsight's 20. I don't know what would have been like with him too.
I know. That's true.
But remember, we're Canadian, okay? Like, we'll be fine. Y'all might get a ban, but we'll go out. Unless, like, Trudeau's, like, just going to follow, you know, the lead or whatever.
He often does, you know?
Unfortunately. But, yeah, so that was another big thing happening mm-hmm. during the week.
There's also, did you hear about Princess Kate going missing? And there's all this, like, where's Princess Kate?
I heard about that. And they came out with, like, a picture.
Yeah, that was, like, allegedly Photoshopped.
It was Photoshopped.
It
you
was.
You could clearly see
I know, it was but Photoshopped. Then they blamed her, and then she put this, like, cryptic story of, like, oh, I guess self-conscious, too.
First
like,
off, anything that she's putting out is not her.
I know it's not, but it was just, like, it's such a weird, weird story, man. Like,
it's a very weird situation.
Yeah.
But the whole crown, that whole, like, royal family business thing has always been weird. Like, you saw with, what's his name, Harry and Meghan?
Meghan,
like, they got out of it because they saw how weird it was, mm-hmm. right? So, I feel like maybe... Kate is going through the same thing where she's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, no, there's also rumored that Prince William has a...
He's like abusive?
No.
Oh.
What's the word? He's cheating on her with someone.
What?
Yeah. Allegedly.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised.
A mistress, that's the word.
I wouldn't be surprised because like a lot of times when it comes to them getting married, it's arranged.
No, theirs wasn't arranged.
I feel like it was.
No, they met. I don't know where they met, but they met. Like, they actually met.
But where they meet, sometimes they arrange for them to meet.
No. You don't know the story about Princess, like,
no,
Will and Kate?
I don't know.
No, theirs was not arranged. Theirs was a love
we'll
marriage.
We'll figure it out after. I don't know. but yeah, that's a very
it's
weird
a
situation.
Weird, very, like, something's off.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know. See, like, there was one point. I don't know whoever put this out. I don't know how they... Did they not look at it before they even put it out? Because you could clearly see there's a part where like the daughter's dress is like doubled up and you can see like there's a blurriness around Kate's like hair and face, and then someone literally did a Google search on her face and they found out it was like a picture she put out like a year or two ago or something like that from like a beach or from some other photo shoot.
It's so just not a good look, and I think they're like scrambling, like there's so many conspiracy theories.
They're
online.
Definitely scrambling if they put out that photo.
Like there are so many theories of like what is actually true and what the family is hiding.
Yeah, because they have seen her though.
No, they haven't.
No, like there are pictures of them being in a car, like trying to leave and come from places where they are. They see her a picture. She's not looking at the camera.
They're saying those are Photoshopped too. Like there's one, and it's so crazy how people pick up on these things. There's one. Did you see the photo of the back of her head?
Yeah, that's like, the one I saw.
Yeah, they're saying the brick in the window is different from the brick above the car. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy.
No, season 7 of The Crown is going to be crazy. I don't know how many seasons are on.
But they like compare the silhouette of the back of her head to another actual photo of the back of her. They're like, it's the exact same hat, exact same hairdo. It's crazy. I know. I'm like, yo, this is wild. This is wild.
Yeah. We'll see how that turns
plays out. Yeah.
Plays out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of people are like, once we find out, new season of The Crown is going to be crazy.
But like total, you know, side note, I just want to take it to like local news for a second.
What happened?
Did you see in the news this week?
What?
I think his official title is actually a constable. But if you're in Toronto, you may know that we are currently having a little bit of an issue, a home invasion issue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I heard about this. Yeah. Go ahead.
And the Toronto police said their advice on how to combat this issue is to just leave your car keys either by the front door or basically on your front doorstep so that when people invade your home to try and steal your car, they can just take the keys and go.
He literally said, just make it easier for them so they don't like mess with you in the house. I know.
Like.
I know. that like the fact that
But
the thing is that the Canadian, the Toronto Police, I believe they have like $1 billion budget.
Yeah, they're the most funded entity, yeah, in the, like, from the government. Like, I just don't understand, what are you doing with all your money?
It makes no sense. Yeah,
you're not patrolling the TTC, so it's dangerous. You're mm-hmm. basically risking your life every time you want to go anywhere on yep. public transportation. People's homes are getting broken into, and they're either getting beaten up, killed, mm-hmm. who knows, for God knows what. Their stuff is being stolen. Nothing's happening. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't understand.
Nah, the whole city is corrupt in that sense. Like, corrupt in so many yeah. ways, and police are no different. You know, hopefully they're not listening to this. And that's all I have to say about this. Okay, but yeah, no, that's this. It's a weird situation that the city's been going through recently.
So weird.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's been happening a lot in the Scarborough area. I've seen it happening a lot more in the West End.
Yeah, like Brampton, yeah. Mississauga-ish. But mm-hmm. also like very east, like Whitby, Ajax.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what the center, where it's more centered around.
I think it's all over the city, mm-hmm. but primarily you hear it more in like Brampton. Like yeah. the car jacking's there, and Mississauga is like, it's scary.
You got to start putting air tags in your car.
Yeah, but like people are putting those, you know, those like wrench looking yeah. things, the lock for the steering.
That's always been a thing though.
But now it's like more yeah, than ever.
I guess people stopped doing it, and now it's coming back.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, but
I don't know, man. This city
be safe, y'all.
Yeah, it's still safe. Mm. It's still a safe city, I believe. I still believe it's safe, but it's just because, you know, we have cameras and stuff, everything catching everything.
Yeah,
we're
yeah,
seeing
yeah.
a lot more.
Yeah,
but it's still an issue. Yeah, it's still an issue that needs to be dealt with. And telling people to leave their keys at the front so it's easier for them doing is not a way of dealing with the situation.
Absolutely not. It makes no sense.
No, but we'll see what they do.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a fresh story, so. Hopefully they come up with something better after there's some backlash on this, because people are not happy when they heard that.
I know. Mm. I wasn't. I was just like, that, that's not cool.
Yeah.
But anyways, we hope you guys enjoyed the first episode of the Ramadan series.
It's not a Ramadan series.
Basically,
is it Ramadan series?
Yeah.
We'll say it's Ramadan series.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It was like that last year. I know we kind of like spun off and talked about other yeah. things, but... yeah, if you guys don't know what the Ramadan series is, last year we kind of had like Islamic centered content mm-hmm. during the month of Ramadan, just to kind of, you know, make our listening to our podcast a little bit more beneficial for us to yeah. talk about, and then for you to listen to. If you guys want to hear specific topics that you want us to cover, let us know in the yeah. comments. We'll read them before we record and mm-hmm. get some inspo from there. And then, as always, you know what to do. Don't forget to subscribe.
Exactly.
You got to make sure you follow us on social media. So TikTok and Instagram. Actually, we just hit 11,000 followers on TikTok.
Did we?
Yeah.
Hopefully we keep them.
And so, yeah, we're on the road to 10K for YouTube subscribers. Mm-hmm. Also 10K for Instagram followers. Make sure to follow us everywhere to get the latest news updates from us. And leave a comment below and give yeah. us a thumbs up as well.
Thank you guys for watching.
Bye.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.